LandryFootball.com is with us right here. Chris, how you been, sir?
Bill, I'm doing well. I was worried about you. I was thinking that, man, I don't know if Bill's going to wake up in time. I knew you were probably glued to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and I said, he might oversleep. He might miss the show.
Who won that? who won it?
The St. Louis Blues won their first Stanley Cup ever.
Wow.
It's one of the great stories because in January they had the worst record in the league, and Charlie could tell you this better than I can't think of a situation in pro sports where a team was literally the worst team in the league at some point in the regular season and goes on to win the championship. I remember the Cowboys were 0-4 the year that Emmett Smith sat out, and then they rallied and got Emmett back, and that was one of their Super Bowl wins under Jimmy Johnson. But so obviously they're happy, and they won on Boston Bruins salt. So anyway, that's a little joke there. I was just telling Charlie I do some radio with KMOX, the big booming station.
Oh, I know.
They obviously I do football stuff, and with the guy that covers Mizzou football and is the play-by-play guy there is Mike Kelly. His dad, Dan Kelly, was the famous Blues announcer and Missouri football announcer. He had a booming voice. He's passed away from cancer years ago. But anyway, yeah, so it's the St. Louis Blues, and I thought I'd have a little joke with you there.
The reason why I was asking is I was watching a video yesterday of the Barstool guy, Portnoy. And he was popping up because he was talking about the Bruins are going to win it. So I just want to make sure I knew who won. That's the impetus.
And silenced the Bostonians last night. Anyways,
on
to football, Bill.
Here's another thing that's off the beaten track. It's just a pet peeve of mine. So I'm driving down the road the other day. I'm driving down the road any random day, and I turn it on any station. They're talking sports. And a big topic is some dude, whoever the hell the dude is, missing the OTAs. Is that a thing? Is that topic really important?
Well, it's the newsworthiness of it probably is overblown.
Right.
But yeah, you're talking to an old coach that, missing OTAs, missing meetings, missing practice does matter, or else we wouldn't have it. Even for veteran guys that don't show up at OTAs, even if they're injured or what have you, their presence can help other guys on the team. I think they're more important than ever because with the influx of free agent signings, you've got more new pieces to your team. So, yeah, I think it's really important. The reality is if it's voluntary, they don't have to show up. And that's part of the problem with the most recent CBA is, they give that up to the players because in lieu of, hey, we're not going to give them any more percentage of the money. And that's part of the collective bargaining agreement signing is they give them more time off. So if it's voluntary, you just accept it that they don't have to be there. But as a coach, as a personnel guy, I don't have to like it. But is it a big deal? Well, it's overplayed too much in the media. It's definitely overplayed. But it is important, and there's not a coach around that would tell you otherwise that, hey, we wouldn't prefer to have the guy there. I mean, Tom Brady didn't go to OTAs. All right, well, no big deal. He's Hall of Famer, get that. No, there's no question. It's not like it's going to debilitate the Patriots, but, it would be better if he's there. Maybe not for him, but for the guys that he's throwing to and protecting for him, there are a lot of young guys that could benefit from his presence. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal football-wise. Is it a big, big story media-wise? Probably not. It's a slow time of year, right?
I got a couple things on Twitter here. Soul Street Coffee says, ask Chris about wide receivers. He says, wide receiver being able to win at the top of the route. He says, Alabama's got a special one in Jerry Jeudy. He says, the scouting comparison is Reggie Wayne.
Well, winning at the top of your route, stemming your route, it's the ability, like the crossover move in basketball, to get a defender going one way and you go another. And the ability to sell that is important, but the quickness, the ability to put your foot in the ground and change directions is what that is all about. And that's what you look for. Judy is phenomenal, and they don't have just Judy, by the way. It is probably Henry Ruggs, the fastest guy. Devontae Smith is, you know, Shavers and Waddle. It's as deep and as good a receiving core that I've seen in college football in maybe 10 years. It is that good. It is the best in the country. Judy, to me, runs his routes more like Marvin Harrison, with tremendous quickness at the top of his route. He's special, and going to be a high pick, and going to be a very influential player in college football this year, I would suspect.
Eric in Indianapolis says, ask Chris what is the biggest concern for Notre Dame when they play Georgia.
Well, I think Georgia has better speed. I think that Notre Dame has made some substantive changes. By the way, we'll go into detail on it on LandryFootball.com of what they did this spring and making some changes on their offensive line. I think they match up pretty well. They've obviously lost some key members of their offensive line the past couple of years. It'll be a good offensive line for Notre Dame this year, but I think there's a little bit of a challenge blocking Georgia's front, and I think defensively they'll be challenged in covering Georgia. Certainly having to go up against a very good offensive line, I don't think that Notre Dame matches up, the defensive front matches up as well against Georgia's offensive line. They're going to have to commit extra guys in the box to stop Georgia's run. And I think they've got good safety play, but I don't know if they've got enough to take advantage of having to overplay and maybe having to play more man coverage than they'd like to against Georgia would be a little bit of an issue. In short, Georgia's just more talented, more athletic. Does it mean they can't win it? Of course not. But I think Georgia's going to have to play down and make some mistakes for Notre Dame to pull it out.
Where would you put, and it's only 1 year in, Quentin Nelson when he came out of Notre Dame, the way he played for the Colts this year? I don't watch much NFL, if ever, but I did watch on Twitter, people would put the cut-ups on some of his plays individually, some of his bulldozing blocks. Where would you place him recently in just interior offensive lineman who came out?
Graded out as the best guard in the league last year for me.
Regardless of age. Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow.
Now, let me tell you that in pro personnel, we have numerical grades, but they correspond to colors. And on LandryFootball.com, we explain that. So blue grade players are the best grade players in the league. Red graded players are players that win for you, that make a difference. And then purple graded players are quality starters. And by the way, we have the same color graded system that corresponds to college. So you can kind of see where it is.
Right.
There's only three guards that graded out in the blues: Nelson, Mason, and Zach Martin. But Nelson graded out the very best. That's how I had him stacked in my pro personnel grade system last year. He's been outstanding. He's been an instant hit and a major, major impact for the Colts. And quite frankly, kind of helped to turn that offensive line around. And it's the reason why Andrew Luck, played so well last year. Well, Andrew was healthy for the first time in a while, but he was able to remain healthy in large part to do that play of the offensive line led by Quentin Nelson. So major impact for them.
How did Mike McGlinchey play last year?
He's not played as well, not as been as consistent. He's graded out in the red area, which has been good, sometimes in the purple. So, again, quality starter to a little bit above. He was not as finished, but he's kind of in that of the tackles, got five blue-graded guys and about 18 red-graded guys. He's one of those guys. He would be kind of in the about 18 or 20, probably about 15 or 16 in the red-gray category. Good, but, good feet, obviously playing out of tackle, not as polished, not as good of an overall blocker, certainly in the run game as Quentin Nelson, not as finished, but it's a tougher position, too, athletically, to match up at tackle against those edge guys.
What do you expect out of Florida State this year?
Well, improvement, definitely, just by the fact that they're going to make substantive changes on offense. I don't know that I have a strong feeling one way or the other about what the record's going to be, but the improvement's going to be there. How much, I don't know. I think they can be effective running the football. Obviously, I think they've got a great back. I think they'll, with tempo and with spread scheme, be able to run the football effectively. And I do like their potential at quarterback. So I think it's going to be better. The offensive line, still not good, but I think they will benefit from some of the schematic advantages that Kendall will bring. So we'll see how it plays out, but I think they'll be improved. I think defensively, some of their play, they've lost a couple of key guys, but I think their play didn't grade out as poorly on film as people might have thought because they were exposed with the offense not getting as much done. Listen, they're light years away from Clemson, but it's baby steps. I think they'll be better. The key is, can they show enough progress to kind of call off the dogs? I mean, I think they'll be improved enough to where, you know, I think Willie will certainly get his third year, but if it's a bad year, like if things tank again and you have the destruction and the underachieving and players start to go in their different direction, then that's the only scenario I can see that could create disaster. And if it's a repeat of last year, we got one of the biggest topics in college football to discuss. But I'm expecting it to be better. Of course, I didn't expect the disaster last year either. I didn't think they'd be I wasn't on board with Willie having a really good fit of coming in and a seamless transition, but I didn't see the disaster. In essence, they should have been a lot better last year. The whole of this team is this program's is destitute. They don't have talent. That's BS. There's more talent than they showed last year. They're not elite Florida State talent. They're not top 10 in the country talent, but they look like a bottom of the rung ACC team last year, and teams with less talent were able to play with better functionality and better coaching than they did. So there's a lot of work, a lot of improvement that needs to be done, and I expect to see, you know, an improvement this year.
Chris, tell everybody about Landry Football.
Well, you know, we always like to say we take you inside the film room, and that's what we're all about. We break down the college game, the pro game. We break down personnel. Right now, we're covering a lot in recruiting in our notebooks, our college notebooks. Big recruiting weekends this weekend for a number of places. Decommitments, what's going on at different places. We've got all that covered. We've got the latest going on in OTAs in the NFL. Biggest thing we're doing is breaking down NFL rosters and college rosters. So we're taking down school by school, breaking down the rosters, position by position, player by player. It's a great way to get a feel for where your programs are, where they're headed, where they're recruiting, the influx of talent. Listen, it's football season for us. It's just a process of getting ready for the playing part of the season. That's what we do. A lot of free stuff on there. We encourage you to check out our Locked On SEC podcast, our Locked On Big Ten podcast. Both of them every day, two separate podcasts, but you can get your fix of SEC football and Big Ten football in particular. We break down the latest goings on right now. It's a lot of recruiting. But we also take different, you know, film room segments, scouting spotlight segment, coaching corner segments, where we break down aspects of different conference schools and break down what would have seen on tape in the spring and, you know, how this player may be a bigger impact and what's going on at this particular receiving core. And so we cover the country in those podcasts. We cover the conferences, go a little bit national. We're looking to expand it to other conferences if this works out well from an advertising standpoint. But a lot of stuff going. It's football 365 for us. It's in-depth. It's fun. And we always look for feedback. Follow me on Twitter as well, at Landry Football. So we hope to see you at LandryFootball.com, everybody.
Good stuff, Chris. See you next week, bud.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Take care.